Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
So if you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Substance. Faith is our assurance. Assurance of what? Things hoped for. There are some things that a child of God hoped for. And you can sum it up by saying salvation. Salvation having been worked out by God, and salvation yet to come, in which I will be rid of this flesh. Salvation being life eternal, which the believer possesses right now, being in Christ. This life they have is in Jesus Christ. We just heard that from Job. Him being the object of that life. Meaning this, my desire is to be with Him. It is what we hope for. We also know that He has a body prepared for us, a new body, and when we go to be with Him, we will put off this body of death, this flesh, and truly put on that new man when we see Him as He is. So everything we hope for is everything that is bound up in salvation, salvation wrought by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is our evidence, it says here. It is our proof that those things hoped for will come to pass. Faith is authored by Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is the possessor, the creator, the one whose faith it was to do all the will of the Father and the covenant made by the three in one. He believed. He trusted in the Father to the extent that He was made a little lower than the angels. And He never wavered or hesitated in what He was here to do. No one could deter Him from what He was doing. Jesus Christ completed the work He came to do. So faith is Him completing the work He came to do, meaning He perfected it. There we see the perfecter of faith. That is the finisher or completer of faith. Because faith is His, Him being the author and finisher of it. Faith looks to Him and what He has done. It says here that they obtained a good report. I see this as saying this in two ways. By this gift that is given by God, of which we did not merit or even ask for, but by this gift, that is faith, we receive a good report that we are righteous. We've read it before, Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So this gift of faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, given to us, enables us to believe God. Also, this faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ given to us, enables us to believe God. This faith enables us to receive a good report. That is, the gospel of faith, of the faith of Jesus Christ. God tells us that in Him, in Christ Jesus, we are made the righteousness of God in Him. This faith lets us know that God is the creator of all things. They were created when all there was God. They were created by the Word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Amen.
Jesus Christ has always been. He is the Word of God, as we read there in John 1:1. It says here that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It does not say that we understand how the worlds were framed by God. We just know it was done by the Word of God.
Amen.
If God told us how He did all of this, I'm not sure we could even take it in.
Right.
One last promise I do want to mention, and that is the promise of the indwelling Spirit of God. Those back then did not have this, yet they still had faith, it says. I will also say this, the old man does not have faith. He never has and never will have faith, because it is flesh, and that's all it will ever be. So obviously I want to talk about faith today. There are a lot of people who like to tell you what faith is. Most do this by basing it on what they do or do not do, or what you are doing or not doing, and determining by that if it is faith or not. I certainly do not deny that having faith, we do some things, or maybe we don't do other things. So whatever faith is, it is our assurance and our proof of things hoped for. So let's talk about the following this morning. What do works of faith look like? And where do I find works of faith? First of all, let's be clear. There are some things in Scripture that let us know they are not works of faith. We know they are not because we are told they are works of unrighteousness. We are told our faith is accounted to us for righteousness. So first, certainly faith is not unrighteous. We have heard this before, but in Romans 1:8 we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Then in verses 23-24, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Then in verses 29-31 of Romans 1, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful," and you can go on and on. There are things that are clearly unrighteous before a thrice holy God. If you relish the thought of doing these things and you act on these lusts and do these as your way of life, you have no faith. Then there are other places in Scripture where we are told they are or were works of faith. We actually have some in the chapter we are in our text. I mentioned these before in my message on Philippians 3. It says something like, "By faith, Abel." I want to be clear again, in case I was not clear before. These works were works of faith.
Yes, sir.
It says they were in Scripture. It says by faith they did these things.
Yes, sir. That's right.
One I want to point out because of how I said it the last time, and I want to clear up how I said it. Hebrews 11:23, it said, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." And I said something like this, "It's not talking about this," or "It's not saying this." But it is talking about faith. But what I was trying to say is this work of faith, and it was a work done in hiding Moses 3 months. They hid him by faith. When it says by faith Moses, it's not saying Moses did these things. It is saying his parents did these things by faith.
Right.
He was a little baby and could make no decisions to do this. Probably the only decision he could make was to say, wah. These were all works of faith. But if I went out and started building an ark, you probably would be thinking about sending me to a doctor to find out what's wrong with me. We have to remember the context here in Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
All these, having faith, looked forward to that day when the Messiah would come.
Yeah.
So all they did was done toward that end. Just as Walter said in his message this morning, Abraham, when he took Isaac up to kill him, he knew God had promised that the seed would come through his son. So he knew God would bring him back to life. He did this looking to the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
We are told in Scripture those things we should do as children of God. There are some things that if you are a child of God, and Joe mentioned some just a little while ago, you do them looking back at what Christ has done, knowing that He has promised all these things, and that one day we will be with Him where He is. Here is just one work I can think of that you can do, just to name one. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That is a work that can be done in faith. But just because you are always faithful to attend the gathering of the saints does not mean you are doing it in God-given faith. It can be, but it does not mean it is for certain. Let me go to Scripture and try to show you what I'm talking about when it comes to trying to pinpoint what someone is doing and saying that is faith or that is not faith, and the fact that we should not do them. Turn with me to Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans 14, and I want to read 4 through 17. Romans 14, verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, do to the Lord. Regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Some men do these things because they think it is the right thing for them to do. Others may be the opposite and do not do this certain thing, not thinking it to be the right thing to do. If whatever you are doing is not unrighteousness, as we've already said, and you want to do it or regard it, it says there in Romans, when talking about a certain day, then do it. You may do something, and to you, it's not a sin. If it is something that is not specifically spelled out by God as being unrighteousness, and it is something you want to do or not do, do it as unto the Lord. If you do not think it is sin. If you do think it is sin, then it is sin to you. Right. And I stress to you.
Yeah.
That is what Paul says, Romans 14:14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But we ought not to be forcing a brother into doing something he feels is a sin.
That's right.
I know we all like to judge one another, but we just read it, and here is what we should judge. Not what my brother is doing, but what I might be doing that is causing my brother to stumble.
Yeah, exactly.
14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We all seem to feel we are okay if we can put the impetus on someone else to do something. But a lot of times we don't like it if it is us who has to do the something. It generally is always someone else who should do it when it comes to us, to me. We, even as believers, like to lay down our laws to someone. This flesh eats it up. But we are not under the law. Yet we like to put others and we like to put ourselves under the law. Paul says we are the Lord's. Now, if you see a believer who is caught up in unrighteousness, then that might be a time to say something. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And I said might there. So it just depends on what it is and what the circumstances are. I can't lay it out on when you should say this, when you shouldn't say something. I want to be clear here. This does not necessarily mean you do not say something about it, but sometimes maybe. I do not know all things, and I cannot say how you should do things in every circumstance. Maybe some can. But however it is done, it should be done in charity, that is love.
Yeah.
One more place, 1 Corinthians 10, if you would turn with me there, if you're following along. 1 Corinthians 10. Verses 23-31. "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be..." Wrong chapter. Verse 23. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." If you notice, there's one thing that's not mentioned in those passages. I do not read of it saying by faith. Faith is not in what you do or do not do. Faith is in what has been done or not done. Faith does not look at all to what you do or don't do. It just does not. My hope is not that I might have enough righteousness to make it into His presence. My hope is that He did what was needed to bring me into His presence. But I have more to say on that next. So now let's look at what faith is. We can go to Scripture and we can see that there are works that have been done that are of faith, our text. But we now cannot say that if we do those things, they are done in faith. Let's turn to James 2. And I know I'm having you turn to a lot of passages, but it says it a lot better than I could. James 2. James 2. In verses 14 through 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now he's going to tell you about his works, but they're not his. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Again, someone else's works, not his. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the works is dead also. Faith believes God. And faith does that toward the brethren, that which is needed. If I see a brother or a sister in need, and yet I do nothing, but I have to be honest. How many times have I done that? Yeah. I know I'm guilty. Thank God for forgiveness.
Amen.
Faith, because it is of Jesus Christ, believes those things that have been done by Christ. For those who came before Christ died, this was done looking forward to that what He would do. For those who do this after He has come the first time, they do this looking back at what He has done, but also looking forward to that which is yet to be done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This is not all there is. We do have eternal life now if we are in Jesus Christ, but there is more to come. Jesus Christ will return to gather His elect. He will give us that new body, and there will be no longer be sin. This body of flesh, this body of sin, will be gone. I look forward to that day.
Yes, sir.
I still have not got to the works of faith that I wanted to talk about, that for which we believe God. Let's turn to Galatians 2 a minute. Galatians 2. These are all pretty close together, so maybe it won't be too bad tonight. Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verses 16 through 21. That's not right. Bear with me just a minute.
let's try Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we... That's why I'm in the wrong book. I'm sorry about that, folks. Yeah, it is. It was a good passage. Okay, Galatians 2, verses 16. Man, I thought that was crazy. Okay, Galatians 2, verses 16 through 21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Faith is Jesus Christ loving me and giving himself for me. That is that covenant made by the three in one. Jesus Christ did all things right because he is the righteousness of God without the law personified. He came down to this earth and was born of a virgin. He was made a curse and sin for me because he loved me. And we got to read a little bit of that too. He said he loved me and he showed he loved me by what he did. Because of this, the following is the judgment of our Lord on those for whom he died. John 8:10 says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Yeah.